The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Tony Curry, along with Michael Coleman, Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I love him so much. I give him two shows here on Tony Curry Radio. We just recorded one of our favorite segments called Mission Minded, which went about 40 minutes if you get a chance to check it out. It is really, really good about how business works. And we talked about everything from grocery stores to pharmacies to, Dollar Generals and how they're affecting how we buy things and how we do our business. So really good. And we always take your email questions, info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. A big part of that was how you can actually start a business. One of these, I have $2,000. I'm going to create my own business. And now this woman's worth $100 million. It does happen. But it takes a very special, unique person to make that happen. On Bite by Bite, you gave us a little clue on the end of Mission Minded, what we were going to talk about today, something that's very exciting. And I can't wait to hear. It almost sounds like a Meals for Wheels or Meals on Wheels philosophy kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a great comparison. So we have a Meals on Wheels here in Montgomery,
which is fantastic, by the way. I did it for my dad. My dad could get out, but he was eating Wendy's like four times a day. And I was like, it's going to kill you because he couldn't cook for himself. And he was eating Wendy's every single day. And so for a small price, I think it was like $75 a month, I called the local diocese of Cincinnati. And not only would they deliver him three squares three times a week, he put the rest of it in the freezer so he could eat on Tuesdays and Thursdays when they weren't there. But he also had someone come visit his house 3 days a week, which I really liked. He got that knock at the door and he really loved that. But continue, please.
Yeah, I mean, that's why a program like Meals on Wheels is so needed. So we're doing something I talked about in previous shows about food as medicine. Some people could say food is medicine, food as medicine. The bottom line is you have one of the things that's actually now law, just a reminder to the audience, is when you go to the hospital now, it's a requirement for them to ask you a series of five questions, and they have to do with the social determinants of health. And one of those is food insecurity. And so basically what they're going to ask you is, do you have enough food at home to eat? And if you reply no, then they take that data down. But there's really nothing that they can do. I mean, they just move on to the next question. Mm-hmm. So we already know that what's coming in a matter of a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever's coming, is that you're going to be required, once you answer that question, to then give them a referral to do something about the problem. Well, we all know outside of food banking, there's nowhere you're going to send somebody for food. There is no system out there where you're going to get free food. I mean, that's what the food banking network is. So we know that that's coming because especially when you're dealing with critical health issues, just being able to eat fresh produce, proteins, things like that. But, you know, if you're living in food deserts, you may not have access to certain meats. You may not have, you know, you eat more processed foods, things that are typically not healthy, especially when you're going through illnesses. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we're going to be setting up a system that we get referrals from the doctor. So at Montgomery has a great cancer center here. Somebody's going through cancer treatment and they've also been identified as being food insecure. They would get a referral to us. And the model that we were setting up initially was that they would actually come here to the food bank. Mm-hmm. But when we were thinking through that, there's lots of issues with that. Sometimes somebody's not going to feel up to it. They're not going to have the ability, whatever. And the cancer center here, because we were talking about in the last episode how rural we are, it's here in Montgomery, but it serves several counties, you know, around our area, all of our coverage area. And so what do you do about those people that live an hour away from the cancer center in a different county? Because Meals on Wheels, and I, again, could not say enough positive things about our Montgomery Meals on Wheels. They cook the meal or they have it cooked. It's contracted sometimes. But there's about 400 to 500 people that they deliver a meal every day at lunch, Monday through Friday. And like you said, give them the frozen meals. Mm-hmm. No cost to them. And it is that human interaction. But when you have volunteers taking out a series of meals, then you want them as bunched together as you can, right? So you're going around Montgomery, you're going to a neighborhood, you may have four people in this neighborhood, that driver's going to take all the ones from that neighborhood. Well, when you get out in rural, you're talking across a county, you may have 10 people that need food, but they're scattered all over a county. And so typically you're not going to have volunteers to drive an hour and then route all the way through a county. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. It's just not something Meals on Wheels is capable of doing. The need and the demand is just simply too much. So what we decided to do was, instead of have people come here, let's just start from the very beginning with a system by which we connect to those people. We create an online ordering system of products that we have. Or they could, with some people who are not going to have access to technology because, again, of the rural problems with technology, or having rural access, could call in and we could share with them, very simple things. It was going to involve us. And of course, everything's about money. Are we going to have the funding for this? But Let's set the funding aside for part. We would have a dietitian that basically would put a meal package together for several meals. The challenge with fresh produce is when you deliver it, and with the frozen, is you have to have the vehicle to do that.
Yeah.
So we do have refrigerated. All our trucks are refrigerated trucks. All our box trucks and semi trucks are refrigerated, but that's very cumbersome going around to people, to individuals. That's bulk transport, bulk delivery. So what we're going to be doing is probably purchasing refrigerated vans, and refrigerated tiny little box trucks.
Like U-Hauls.
Almost like a U-Haul. Yeah. Not even as big as something. I mean, like a small town. Let's think of
the
small.
Like the Kroger ones.
That's right. Yeah.
Like the Kroger trucks, yeah.
Yeah, and then what that enables us to do is set up, like right now, we do all that. We have a delivery system. We have a routing system. We have a customer ordering system. We have all that. It's just not set up for the individual. So what we're going to do, we already have great processes. So instead of reinventing a whole different system where people come here, we're going to take those same processes, except we're just going to change it from the company or the agency to the individual, still tie in. The processes will be the same. There'll be some modifications, but a driver, for instance, who says my route is in Butler County, it's an hour away. I mean, the county's an hour away, plus the route is another hour. So we'll have a driver, but he will leave here with 10 to 15 meals. And when I say meals, they're not prepared meals. They're boxes of maybe specialized food, like mm-hmm. low sodium vegetables. Some of it will be canned, but they will also have fresh produce. They will also have frozen items for delivery. And to be able to meet those initially who are going through some of the most difficult health issues is how we're going to do that impact. And so it's going to require, obviously, financing. We've got to get vehicles. We've got to get people to manage that, increase in our systems. And there's going to be some food that's going to we're going to have to be purchased, on and on and on. So set aside several $100,000 to do all that. And we have the vision.
You're so optimistic. I love that. We need to buy a fleet of vans. Sure.
It's just money. What's a $500,000 among friends, right? Yeah,
exactly.
There's somebody probably listening out there that could write a check for that. If the Lord just moved them to do it. But
I'm sure there is.
No, there are, and it's innovative because everybody who there's tons of these kind of systems already in food banking, but it's like in your big cities. like Tampa and Atlanta. And, you know, you can do those kind of things because your population is condensed, like the Grubhub. But you don't have a Grubhub for the country.
Yeah.
For the, when I say the country, the rural areas, mm-hmm. because you can't make the dollars match. You can't pay $5 for a Big Mac, but then the guy's got to drive 30 miles to get to you.
Why do you think it took so long for us to get, I mean, Domino's has been delivering pizzas for 30 years, 30 minutes or less. We thought that was like, wow. And I've seen, you know, the Men Who Made America, the documentary, and they're like, there's no way you can make money by doing this. And they're like, yeah, if we tip our drivers, it's make it a little easier. They don't have to pick them up because pizzas can be made in 8 or 9 seconds. Yeah. Why do you think it took so long for us to have this delivery service? And is Shipt making money? Is DoorDash making money? Is Grubhub making money? All I know is when I go into a fast food restaurant, they're too flipping busy getting all their to-go orders ready, and it's hurting the inside store experience big time.
Because
the DoorDash guy runs in, all of a sudden I'm pushed to the back because he's got 16 meals he's got to go deliver.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot like we talked about in the last episode about somebody's individual drive. Some people go, okay, instead of going to college or, look, I don't need any qualifications. If I can just get a driver's license, I can do this job, right?
Yeah.
Because GPS makes delivery so easy, and just in terms of the location and everything else. Some people can't hack it, but like people who do Lyft and do Uber and everything else. And I always, when I'm traveling, I go to conferences, I always use Uber, and I always quiz them to say, you know, how long you been doing it? It's almost like I'm taking like a little survey everywhere I go because it helps me understand that business, the ins and outs, the challenges. And I've heard lots of people say, look, I just do this because I need a little bit of extra money. Then I've heard some people say, look, I've been very successful. And I'm like, really? Because I hear some people who say, well, I can't make it as an Uber driver. Well, it's just like anything else. If you want to make it, how hard are you willing to work? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just get up, whatever. And, you know, but maybe the airport's too far, but that's where a lot of your traffic's going to be. It depends on, I mean, I see Ubers that's like in big cities, you know, they go from one pickup to the next. I mean, they're humping it.
Yeah.
Some guys do a couple of deliveries. They may go sit somewhere in the shade for a little while. I admit that sometimes on Uber and thing, you see that what they actually get is not great, mm-hmm. that you have to hump it to be able to make it, but you can do it because people do it all the time. And, but like you said, lots of times I'm standing in line and there's three people ahead of me, but they're all Grubhub.
Yeah.
People waiting to pick up somebody's order.
Yeah.
And there's the answer as to whether it's successful or not. I will tell you, like my wife and I, we love pizza. And I order a pizza at almost every single weekend. And when I do, it's about 4 miles from my house. But Pizza Hut charges, let's just say, around a $6 to have it delivered. And then I always want to give, you know, $10. So I'm paying 15 extra bucks mm-hmm. every single day, $60 a month, because I don't want to get up and go pick up the pizza and bring it back.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so if the people are humping it, there's always people like me who love the convenience. And once you get home, you're done from work. Man, I don't want to get back out in the traffic again. I'll pay the 10. It's just worth it. They deem it worth it for them. And evidently, that's what I said. There's so much money.
We're so flipping spoiled. We are so spoiled. I mean, I heard a great story yesterday. I was thinking about you. Anyone ever hear business stories about the water bottle industry? My daughter, starts school next week, and she's like, I need a new bag. And I'm like, no, I spent $150 on a bag last year. And I said, this is going to last you for like 3 or 4 years. Okay. It's a really nice bag. The zippers don't break off on it. She can pack it full of crap and she can't destroy it. It's like a piece of luggage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a Circle water bottle, which is $27. And of course you can put the cartridges on top, and there's now you can put bling on the outside of it. There's a tray. There's a tray that you can put on top of the Circle thing that holds sauces for like McDonald's and stuff. So you can use your Circle bottle when you, and I'm like, no, I've got so many water bottles. You know, it started with the plastic ones. And I heard the evolution of the water bottle, because the water bottle used to be, was not a good look for people, because that meant your water was not good water. You had to walk around with a water bottle because your tap water was lousy, and you had to walk around. It wasn't, you know, oh my gosh, I must drink 64 ounces of water a day so I can keep my weight off. And it's the funniest thing, because the biggest, fattest people I ever see are always the ones walking around with the big vat of water, and they're drinking a ton of water, but they don't ever lose weight. I mean, maybe it's just all water weight. Isn't it amazing? I always see people walking around.
The whole diet industry is nothing but a scam.
So this woman says, well, if everyone's gotten water bottles, how's the business model stay in? Why are there so many different, because now there's like 35 different water bottle companies.
Sure.
And now you carbonate your water, you could do all these things. And how is it stay in business? And she said, it's because people are now collecting water bottles. And I was like, So now it's the point where I have my Tuesday water bottle. I have my water bottle that I use for my hikes. I have my water bottle that I use for my special dates. I use this water bottle when I go on my runs. This is a lighter water bottle.
It is a style statement. And I know people who buy expensive. I have two daughters. They both do it. My wife's done it, where they buy expensive things because it's the late, like the Stanley Cups come out, and they're just different than the old, what's the big brand that came out, the refrigerator, you know, that keep things cold or hot.
Solo?
No, it wasn't Solo. It was the Yeti.
Yeah.
But anyway, every time something new comes out, it becomes trendy. They're like, oh, that's cool. You know, and you already have all that kind of stuff. But we all just kind of gravitate towards the latest, because when you walk in with one, you're now part of an in-group. Mm-hmm. There's so much psychology that goes on that you feel part of something. You're the cool person, just on and on and on. But yeah.
Yeah, my daughter wants a new bag because
I know we went chasing down this rabbit.
Oh, this has been great.
That's great.
She's got to have a new bag because she cannot be seen with the same bag she had in sixth grade.
Oh yes,
I'm like, are you kidding me?
She would be devastated.
Give me a can of spray paint. We'll change it up. No one will know the difference. All right, that's bye bye bye. Thank you so much. Hey, tell people how they can find Heart of Alabama Food Bank and help you out.
Yeah, go to HAFB.org and love to have people out in the audience support us and get involved with what we do. But also, I want to encourage you to get involved in your local food bank and support them as well. But if you don't have that relationship and just like what we do and want to support the show, please reach out and donate or reach out with an email. We're all easy to find and get a hold of. So thanks, everybody.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.